about Jesus. Come on, that does it. Come on. Don't, you're not fooling me or the Lord. Come on. Come on. If you're not excited, hopefully you will be here soon, because we're going to talk about some exciting things. Here, Julie, can you grab this for me? Yeah, I was up there, and Clyde came up and put his mask on. I thought, oh, and then I thought, yeah, I went to the dermatologist. I got all this stuff going on. I said, he probably thinks I have leprosy or something, you know? There you go. Amen. Amen. I know. Yeah. We live in different times, don't we? Well, I'll tell you, God is, in the last few months, I have been reborn. I really have. I mean, it's like, it's so exciting what he is doing. And I just have an excitement in the last few months. The COVID thing, a lot of people just got really angry and upset and whatever. I just took the time to be with the Lord. Absolutely. You know, I really did. And it was glorious. It was beautiful. And I just love the things, the times that we've had together during all that. And I'm not wishing for another COVID, but I am definitely, or what they call it, closed down or whatever they call it. I'm not wishing for that and praying for that, but I am saying he started something there with me. And you know, I'm hoping and praying he starts something with you, has already started something with you. And he continues to start something with you. I mean, I think our walk is a series of awakenings. You know, we get, you know, we wake up to certain things. We see things a little differently. And that's an awakening. And I want an awakening every day. I want something new every day. And he, you know, his mercies are new and afresh every morning, right? Yeah, so is his revelation. He didn't put a time frame on revelation, right? He didn't say, well, only in church can you get your revelation. No, it's 24/7. If you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's there with you. He's wide awake, and he'll wake you up, spiritually speaking, right? Okay, so the title today, let me pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give us an awakening this morning. Yeah, wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. Get us excited about you and the things you're doing in us, through us, to others. And let that light shine, Lord. Let it just shine. And Father, we just thank you for your word, and just speak your words today, Lord, not mine. In Jesus' name. Okay, the title is this, and you might think it's a little condemning, but it's not. I'm telling you that up front. Is, do you know God or do you know of God? And we're going to talk about that today. No condemnation. You know that. Not in wings. We don't do that. There's so many misconceptions about who Jesus is, who God is. I mean, think about it. All you have to do is just be out, and you see all these misconceptions. Now, do you all love me? Yes. Do you? Will you love me after this video? Yes. Promise? Yes. What'd you say? You know, God likes to have some fun. Yes. You know, he really does. It's not all this solemn stuff. I mean, I was raised in a church where everything was, the robes were on, and you know, if that's what people are into, that's fine. God will take you any way he has planned for you, but that's not my way. I like to sit down and talk about Jesus. That's my favorite thing on earth to do, is to just sit down and have a conversation with people and let Jesus just permeate the whole conversation and have his way. I love that more than anything else. At the radio program, wherever I go, that's what I love most. I don't talk about work. You know, people, sometimes their identity is their job. Okay? That's never been my identity since I've been a believer. I don't care about those jobs. I really don't. They're just a way to pay bills. I don't care about that. My identity is in Christ, and so is yours. So is yours. Okay, so you said you'd love me after this. Go ahead, Curtis, roll it. Turn it up.
Supper's ready. Come on, y'all. I've been slaving over this for hours.
Look at that spread.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call them. And of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who's a stone-cold fox, who if you were to rate her ass on 100, it would easily be a 94. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Dear tiny infant Jesus.
Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, in your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled-up fist pawing.
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look.
Okay, so, I mean, as funny as it is, it's sad, too. It's sad that there are people that have that kind of a misconception of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you love me?
Yes.
Okay, so that wasn't too bad, was it? Anyway, sorry for that one word, but that's okay. I think we're all adults, aren't we? Right? And he's not paying attention anyway back there, the young one. Okay, so, yeah, there's so many misconceptions because they don't know him. They know of him. They don't know him. They don't know his character. They don't know what he's done. Even some know what he's done, and they just know of him. Okay? So my scripture is in Titus 1:16. And again, no condemnation. Remember that. Some people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. Okay? I want to put in there, if you'll let me, they deny him by the way they think. Their thinking is skewed and off. And so that's what causes them, their lives to be off. Okay? This study is not about sin. I mean, I just flipped through the channels this week one time, and buddy, this guy was preaching up a storm, and all I heard was sin, 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 calling every sin by name. And I didn't hear Jesus, I didn't hear love, I didn't hear that he will reconcile the world to himself. I didn't hear any of that. And I prayed for the brother. I prayed for him, you know, because I wanted him to have an awakening. Because just by hearing the laughter, he'd say a few jokes and clapping, there was a lot of people there. And I want him to have an awakening so that he can bring that word to his congregation. Okay, so it's not about sin today. It's about knowing God more and more and more and more and more every day. We're going to study into a little bit of the duality of man. The purpose is to identify both, allow God to get rid of the one, so that only the true identity will remain, and that's us in Christ, and we're one with Christ, just like Kathy was saying last week. Okay. Back to that thinking. I do want to jump back there for a second. By the way they think, you know, because the Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. So check your thinking. Check your thinking. We let a lot of stuff get in there that shouldn't be in there. You know, and we react to things that gets up in here. You know, and I always just say, don't let stinking thinking rule you or show how your actions are going to be, you know, because of the stinking thinking. Because you think it up here and then you do it. And so we need to check our thinking, and then we need to have the mind of Christ. With the mind of Christ, you don't have to worry about stinking thinking. That's pure, perfect thinking. Okay. So there's a scripture that I always had problem as a baby Christian, and that's, you know, Lord, Lord, didn't we heal the sick? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do all this? And God says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Many people think that's a boom. That's it. They don't have a chance after that. You know, a lot of people think that there's time frames that cannot be negotiated. You know, like when you die, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, you don't have a chance. Okay? I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says, okay, now don't you think it'd be important enough that it would say, okay, you better ask Jesus into your life before you die, because at that point, you'll never ever have a chance. Don't you think that God loves us enough? For he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. If he loves the world, that means he loves everybody. Okay? And if he loves everybody, don't you think he would warn people and say, okay, you better do it? Anyway, I'm sorry I got off on a tangent, but that's, you know, that's always bothered me. As far as I'm concerned, that means basically repent. Change your thinking. Because you're doing all this in your own, you know, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. They're saying, oh, by my might and by my power, I did all these things. Well, that's stinking thinking. So, you know, that's the part that the Lord showed me that says, no, I'm going to wake them up. They're in a stupor here. They're not seeing things clearly, you know, so I'm going to wake them up. All right, 1 Corinthians 15:47 through 49. I'm going to read it here. I just got this Passion Bible. I quote from probably 6 or 7 translations whenever I teach or I preach. I just got this on Amazon for, I think, $13.90-something. I would recommend. It's nice to get other perspectives, you know, and I would recommend everybody pick it up because it's beautiful. This includes New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and Song of Songs. $13.99, can't beat that. I think, and then tax, it was $15. Free shipping. Okay. All right, listen to this. The body is sown in decay, but will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation, but will be raised in glorification. It is sown in weakness, but will be raised in power. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. For it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. Okay, there's that duality starting. Okay, so we got the first man, it's Adam. The last Adam became the life-giving spirit, Jesus. Okay. However, the spiritual didn't come first. And that's the same in your life. The spiritual didn't come first. I can tell you for a fact, when I was a kid and whatever, whew, man, it's so funny because people that knew me way back when and then meet me and they find out that I love Jesus and all that, they laugh. They go, you? You? I mean, So let me tell you, everybody in their time will come. However, the spiritual didn't come first. The natural precedes the spiritual. The first man was from the dust of the earth, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. The second man is the Lord Jehovah from the realm of heaven. The first one, made from dust, has a race of people just like him who are also made from dust. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust, but now, not when you die, not, you know, down the road, now, right now, here today, let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven. Beautiful. Okay, so I think what Jesus is saying here is just, you know, let's get the earthly man out of here, you know. Let's just get him out. And you can see in your walk, you can see the earthly man fading, can't you? I mean, you can see it. You can feel it. You can sense it. You know it's happening, okay? But, you know, we need, God has to do it, folks. You can will yourself to be a good person, but you know what? Ain't happening, Clyde. That's right. So, but as you see yourself in your journey with the Lord getting closer and closer to him, then that earthly man fades away. Just like John said, you know, that I must decrease so he may increase. He was talking about a physical ministry. But that's what goes on in us too, okay? Okay, and you know, this is 1 John 3:5, you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Goes on to say, whoever abideth in him, and I had trouble with this scripture too at one time, whoever abideth in him sins not. What? Is that what it really says? Huh? Sins not? I always had a problem with that. I said, man, I'm just missing the mark, man. I'm just messing up royally. And I start condemning myself. And there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So whoever abideth in him sin not. Whoever sinneth has not seen him or known him. Come on. That's pretty strong, isn't it? You know, I would say to God, I still mess up from time to time. But that duality is this. When we're operating out of the flesh, the mistaken identity, whatever you want to call it, man, earthy, whatever, when you're operating out of that, okay, we'll go back to the scripture. It says, you're showing folks, and you're showing folks that you're not seeing him properly. When you operate out of the spiritual realm, you can't sin. But here's the whole thing. Your sins are gone. They're gone for good, forever. You were judged when Jesus passed, you passed, and you passed from death into life. So those sins, he doesn't keep a track of all your sins. I mean, he loves you exactly where you are right now, no matter what. Well, you don't know what I did last night. Well, guess what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You are operating out of the flesh, so it doesn't matter. I understand you. I'm going to complete what I started in you, but it, you know, manifestation of completeness hasn't yet occurred. Okay? So anyway, we talk a lot about mistaken identity, and that's the issue here. I like how the Passion Bible puts it. It says, the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment. Okay? Hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. So there's your answer right there. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to run through a quick example of the two men. One was earthly, right? And one was heavenly, right? Okay. And I'm going to paraphrase this, so I might not hit it all. It says, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Okay? And she said, I have obtained a man, or a baby boy, or a son, whatever, with the help of the Lord. And later she gave birth to his brother, Abel. And now Abel kept the flocks of the sheep and goat. Isn't that weird? Sheep, there's no such word as sheeps, but there is a word goats, anyway. All right. But Cain cultivated the ground. And the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground. Okay? But Abel brought an offering of the finest firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. Okay? And even in the natural, the Bible says that all fat belongs to him. That's kind of weird. All fat belongs to him. Basically, he's doing pretty good here then. I mean, anyway, so even in the natural, certain fats are really good for your body. You know? I mean, they tell you don't eliminate fats from your diet. Just get the right fats. So even then, so we should, what it means basically is we should be always offering our best to him. You know, our real ministry, if you really want to break it down, our real ministry is to him. Huh? I mean, if we really wanted to break it down into an easy sentence, because all this other stuff takes care of itself, doesn't it? If we minister to him, the rest of it takes its due course. So our, you know, that might need a paradigm shift up here. You know, that might need an awakening that, oh, so my job, not that it's a job, but I am to minister to the Lord and I don't have to worry about anything else. That's true, man, I'm telling you. Says, love the Lord your God with everything you got. Heart, mind, soul, strength, everything. And guess what? What happens then? You're going to love your neighbor as yourself. It's simple. It's so simple. So let's start ministering to God every day, not ministering to this person or whatever, because that's then going to have some power. If you minister to God and then you minister to someone else, because he told you to minister, man, there's going to be power and authority come with that. And you're going to see some stuff. And I think we're living in a day where we're going to see some stuff. But if we minister to him, he's going to take care of the rest of it. So, okay. All right, so Abel's offering came, and the Lord respected Abel for his offering. But for Cain, said his offering, he had no respect. So Cain became extremely angry, indignant, and he looked annoyed and hostile. That right there tells you everything about Cain, right? I mean, if he was like that then, guess what? He was a little brat. He probably got everything handed to him on a silver platter. I can tell you right now, I was going to wait and tell you later on, but I'll tell you right now. Cain's name means possession. He loved to have his possessions. Possession, selfishness, to cause to possess. He was always looking for more, 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 more. Me, you know. Provoked to jealousy. You know, my definition part is work. Because when you're tilling the ground, you're working. It's hard work. If you're watching the flocks, I'm not saying that's not hard work, but there's many times where you're just kicked back, praising the Lord and praying and, You know, and look at all the shepherds out there. Look how important in the Old Testament shepherds were. You know, you had Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. What is God teaching these men? I mean, you look at Moses, a great example. Moses was, well, you know, bless God, I'm going to go kill this guy because he's messing with my people. Right? Didn't he do that? Guess what? After he shepherded for a while, he wouldn't have had that same reaction. He wouldn't. So we have to go through that shepherding phase of our life, you know? And what does that mean? I'm getting so far off track, it's not even funny. So what does that mean? Okay? I don't even know where it is. But shepherd means feeding the flock and all these wonderful things. Feed the flock, you know, and love on... I mean, most shepherds, I would say, love their flock. I mean, there was a story I think you told, Oscar, that these people over in the Middle East would have the shepherds, or the sheep would come in, or goats, and they would get some water. And then when the shepherd took off, they took off. Well, he was calling them by name, and they were like a little puppy dog. By the way, we got a little puppy dog. It's the cutest thing, 5 pounds. And she, if you want to know the definition of love, set her on your lap, and you will get licked to death. I mean, she's so loving and caring. Okay, sorry. So anyway, shepherds, you know, they all these people are shepherds. If you were to pick, you know, not that God's a respecter of persons, but if you were to pick the heavyweights in the Bible, which sounds silly anyway to even say that, wouldn't that be the list I just gave you? Must be important. Must be important to learn the traits of a shepherd. I mean, somehow. Okay. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why do you look annoyed? Guess what? If you're angry and you look annoyed, stop. Stop. Oh, yeah, that's easy to do. I mean, you don't know what happened. Well, I don't care. Stop. That's just good advice. Do I do it every time? No. If you do well, believe, which means believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? Wow. And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door, and its desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. You can only do that with the Lord. You can't do that on your own. Trust me, I've tried. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, about what God had said, and when they were alone working in the field, Cain attacked Abel, his brother, and killed him. So I always, you know, I always wondered about that too. You know, I mean, was he so self-centered, you know, such a socio-psychopath that he, you know, because the Lord didn't accept his offering or whatever? There's so many. Time does not give us to get into deep into this whole story. But I will tell you this. I believe the Lord showed me that Cain is like the flesh or the body, okay? And Abel is like the soul. And if your flesh, you know, pleasing yourself and you come before everybody else, if that overpowers your soul, you're killing your soul. You're killing your soul. If you're going to let the flesh rule you, your soul's going to subject itself to either the flesh or the spirit, right? And we want the Spirit to have his way, don't we? We want the Spirit to have his way. So whenever, you know, back in the day, I was running around like a crazy person in college and whatnot. Man, the flesh was happy guy, man. He was having his way with me. I mean, everything was hedonism and satisfying the flesh. Thank God he got a hold of me, and thank God he had the patience with me to start bringing me to where I am today. I've got a long way to go, but guess what? A lot better off than I was in college. And as long as we're progressing, that's all that matters. If we're standing still, guess what? You know, the old t-shirt said, if you stand still, you get run over or something. You know, I mean, got to move forward or you're going to get run over. Okay. So basically, Cain was trying to do it all on his own. That's the gist of the Cain and Abel story. I mean, it gets a lot deeper than that, but Cain is, you know, like the Bible says, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's only by the Spirit. I look at my life and you look at your life and you go, I'm amazed where I am, and I know I didn't get me here. I had nothing to do with it other than a receptive, you know, spirit or whatever you want to call it to the things of God. I want more of Him. That's my heart's desire, and He'll give you your heart's desire, and your heart's desire should be more of Him, right? I don't think you can reach the point where you have all of Him. At least here, haven't met anybody that's at that point. I mean, you know, you meet people that you go, wow, that person really knows Jesus, and at that point, you know, they do probably because the Spirit bears witness of the Spirit. Okay, so you know, even Cain, for what he did, God did not forsake Cain. He did punish him pretty severely, but he even put a mark on Cain. And that mark was Jesus Christ. I mean, because even though Cain, God loves the world. So was Cain part of the world? Yeah. Yes, he was. So he loved Cain, but he sure punished him. But you know what? In your life, you've probably had situations that were really bad, trials and tribulations, even suffering, whatever. But guess what? In Cain's life, guess what God brought out of Cain? Yeah? But he brought Enoch. Enoch. Enoch was, oh man, Enoch walked with God and God just took him. Tell me he didn't know God. So you got a dad that doesn't know God but knows of Him. But you got Enoch that, man, he knew God. He knew God inside and out. They'd just walk and talk and have a good old time. And finally, Lord says, hey, I'm just bringing you from this dimension into this dimension. Let's go. Some people, and I'm not subscribing that I talk to anybody that could justify it or whatever, but some people have said in their prayer life, they've sat down and Enoch came to mind and Enoch visited them. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he came by way of the Lord, but still, you know, they seem to think that, when they talked to him, that it was Enoch. That's between them and the Lord. But all I can tell you is Enoch knew the Lord. So just because a family member doesn't know the Lord, or your dad or mom, and you had a bad childhood, whatever, doesn't mean God's, again, not a respecter of persons. He'll leave the 99 to come after that one. So if you have children, grandchildren that aren't serving the Lord, guess what? They will. They will. Okay. Let's move on down to Mary and Martha. Everybody knows the story of Mary and Martha. Martha and Cain would have made good buddies. Abel and Mary would probably have made good buddies. We all know the story, and I'm not going to belabor it, but it says, Martha goes up to Jesus, Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? I mean, it even sounds funny, doesn't it? I mean, does that sound funny? Can't you just picture her just all flustered and upset? And Anyway, Jesus, tell her to lend me a hand. Right? Jesus is so awesome. The master said, Martha, dear Martha. I could just see him kind of shaking his head. Martha, Martha, Martha. Oh, geez. And don't let yourself become a Martha, because listen to this next part. We all fit in, right? I'm telling you, if you wouldn't raise your hand, if you didn't identify with this next line, then I would have to question. Yeah. It says, you're fussing far too much. That's what Jesus is telling Martha. You're just fussing way too much. Getting yourself worked up over nothing. That's what Jesus told Martha. Martha, her heart was to serve the Lord. Cain's heart may have been to serve the Lord. It's just coming about it the wrong way. Okay, so when we get fussy and we get whatever, just think to yourself, I don't want to be like Martha. I want to be like Mary. Because what he says about Mary is this. One thing only is essential. Just one thing? Wow, when Jesus says only one thing is essential, I want to hear what he has to say. Mary has chosen that one thing. She's chosen it. And then he says, going back to Martha, keeping it in that same vein, he says, and it's the main course. It's the main course, this one thing that Mary has chosen. And it won't be taken from her. Praise the Lord. We got a bunch of Marys here. I know that. Even us tough guys, we're Marys, right? Okay. How do we sit at the feet of the Lord? Anybody have any thoughts on that? How do you sit at the feet of the Lord? I mean, what's that mean when you say Mary sat at the feet of the Lord? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Okay. Anybody else? Meditate? Devotion? Okay. Anybody else?
Humble?
Reading the Word? She obeyed. She was obedience is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Waiting to hear. Yep. She's at his feet, but she can still hear when he speaks. Even though he may have been 6 foot tall or however tall he was, not important. But she could still hear him speak. See, we go to the feet of Jesus and we still hear him speak. Whew, man. I just want to be at the feet of Jesus. That's where I want to stay, because, man, nothing can touch you when you're at the feet of Jesus. Wow. It's so cool. Okay. Spend time. Have you ever gotten, I know y'all have, gone through a day and you go, wow, I haven't spent any time with Jesus. My mind has been on work or been on this or been on that or been on the other or been, and I haven't. Actually, you know, it says pray without ceasing. What's that mean? Just have a knowledge of him through your day. I talk to him like someone was following me around, they'd think I was crazy. Because I talk to myself, but I'm not talking to myself, Richard Ellison. I'm talking to the Jesus in here. You know, and I'm thanking him through the day. And, that, you know, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. All things, that means everything, everything. Make your life an offering to the Lord through your thoughts, your tongue, and your actions. Your thoughts, your tongue, and your actions. And the other reasons Abel's offering was acceptable to the Lord is that, I mean, we can exhaust this crazily, but the other reason is because Abel knew without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins, right? Is that what the word says? So, you know, thank God we don't live in the law. thank God we're not sacrificing oxen and birds and chickens and whatever we can get our hands. Think about that for just a second. It blows your mind that this was a way that you were honoring God. Are you? I love animals, you know, but again, it's the law. Man made the law, right? I mean, God said, okay, you want the law, I'll give you the law, but you can't keep it. You know, you're not going to keep it. That what was it, the rich man, or what, someone came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, keep the law. He said, I do that. Liar. No, you don't. He said, well, then sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Oh, boy, he went away dejected. His countenance fell. Okay, I'm kind of winding down. About another hour and a half and I'll be done. Okay, it's in Leviticus. And thou shalt receive them of their hands and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, right? A sweet savor. I was always wondering, why a burnt offering? What's the purpose of it other than, of course, the shedding of blood? But it's for a sweet savor before the Lord. You know, your life should be a sweet savior, a great smell to the Lord. Now, we all know God doesn't have two nostrils and sinuses and all that, but it's just a point of contact that says, okay, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. It is an offering made by fire. We were talking about fire in Sunday school. Fire is a good thing. And unto the Lord. In the message, it says a pleasing fragrance. He wants you to be a pleasing fragrance to him. And then it also says in the message, a gift of God. A gift of God. So what is the gift that you could give the Lord? Anybody have any thoughts on that? What is a gift that you know, this is a gift to God. We're going to give him a gift. What's that gift look like? Anybody have any thoughts?
Yourself.
Okay. There you go. The only gift he wants is you, but he wants all of you. It says he's a jealous God, not jealous in the way that man looks at it in the natural, no. Jealous meaning he wants all of you. Our little puppy dog, man, if we turn our head away or something, that dog will jump in your lap and get her face right in your face and start licking you. She wants all of you. She doesn't want you to forget that she's there. Of course, she was found in a ditch in West Virginia, so she's 2 years old. So, yeah, that dog hit the mother load when it came to our house because she's funny. Anyway, okay, so he doesn't want to share you with the world, does he? So if you got 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the kingdom, you know, the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So guess what? Anytime you don't have righteousness, it's all given to you already. It's all, but the righteousness you can't earn. So it's all, just walk out of here if you don't think you're righteous. If you don't get anything else from this message, walk out of here as a righteous man or woman, because you are. He said that. So let's put righteousness aside for just a second. Peace, joy. In his presence is fullness of what? Joy. So guess what? If you're lacking joy, and that's why one of the things he showed me, and I've just been so excited for the last 3 months, is the joy that he's given me. I never experienced that kind of joy before. I've never experienced that kind of peace. I mean, what goes on out there, I can't control. So I have peace. I have peace. I have joy. I love life more than I've ever loved it as an adult. I got a beautiful wife. I got kids. I got grandkids. I'm a great grandpa. What do I have to murmur and complain about. Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Okay. Just quickly, I'll tell you, Abel's name means breath. And I can't, I just, when I heard breath, Abel was a breath of fresh air to the Lord. A vapor. You know, the Bible says our life is but a vapor, it vanishes away. Okay? His life vanished away much earlier than everybody else was living to be 700 or 800 years old. It doesn't say how old Abel was, but, you know. Our tomorrows are in the Lord's hands. So leave them there. Don't take them. I know you, there's people like Julie, she's a planner, and that's good. Let me tell you something. When you go on a vacation, she's got everything laid out almost to the restaurant that we're going to eat at. That's good. But when it comes to our lives, just leave that with the Lord. Don't take that up. It's something that He wants to have for you. Okay, keeper. Who was the keeper? Abel, right? Keeper of the pasture, keeper of the goats and the sheep. What it means is to pasture, tend, graze, and feed the sheep. Tiller means to work. So we talked about that earlier. And the ground, I'm going to just spend a little bit of time on this and we're going to get out of here. The ground, I just felt that this was really interesting. The ground is the word Adama. What does that sound like to you? Yeah. So guess what? The root of ground and Adam is the exact same word. And it means red or ruddy. Wasn't David described as ruddy with a beautiful countenance? Yeah. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. For as in Adam, what'd you say, Clyde? All die. And when Christ, all will be made alive. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Okay. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For whoever want to save his life will lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. So I believe this is more for the internet if they tune in, because I believe that this is all basic stuff. He that loveth his life will lose it. He that hateth his life, and that word hate is not the way man would look at it. Just basically means, well, I mean, in a way it does. I got to a point where I hated my life. I did. I hated it. I mean, it's probably the best job I ever had financially. This was back 30 years ago. Had more possessions than you could ever imagine. And I was miserable. Just miserable. And I turned on the radio. I mean, I was brought up in a Methodist church. God bless the Methodists. But, you know, one thing I did get from that is Vacation Bible School. We'd talk a lot about the Old Testament stories, you know, Jonah getting swallowed by a big whale and all that stuff. But it's no longer I that liveth. It's Christ that liveth in me. So let it all go, folks. Let it all go. God and you got this. Not great grammar, but it's true. God and you are a team. You don't pray to some mountaintop or some cloud to reach the Lord. You just go within. You go within. He's right there. So there's no reason to sit there and agonize over your prayer life or whatever. If there's an area in your life that you need to give to the Lord, give it to Him. You won't regret that. You won't regret it, I'm telling you. When you do, there's more. When you do, there's less frustration, fear, disappointment, and many other emotions out there. Emotions will mess with you if you let them. I mean, you could put a whole list of things that the emotions, you know, will produce. It's not just frustration, fear, disappointment. It's a lot more than that. It's time to wake up and see what God has in store for you next. It's time to move on. It's time to put some of this stuff aside. It's time to, you know, say, Lord, I'm all in. You know, I'm all in. My prayer is every morning, Lord, give me as much as you as I can handle today. Because I know I can't handle all of it. I wish I could, but I can't. It's a progression. Flesh can't inherit the kingdom, so let it go. Let it go. Romans 13:11, and I was wondering if you could read your poem. I know you memorize all your poems, but the poem on intimacy. I just felt like the Lord. You need to. I'm not right now, so you got time to get it if you need to, because I'm just finishing up. Okay, Romans 13:11. I thought was a really good verse that's appropriate for this, and that knowing the time that now is high time. It's high time, okay, to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven, folks. You know that. Salvation is a whole lot more than that. It's, you know, deliverance from your enemies. It's preservation. It's safety. Pardon? It's becoming more like Him, right? It's clear when you say addictions and stuff, you know that those people need deliverance, and we definitely need, our heart goes out to all those people, addictions and whatever, you know. But there's stuff in us that needs salvation still, you know. And Lord, in Ephesians 3:20, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I want to know what that's all about. I've seen exceeding abundantly, but I don't see that that's ever ending. I see that's just above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's working in us from the inside out. And in Jeremiah, it says, All Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm. Do y'all know that song? Isn't that a good song? All Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth. You ever heard of that? Never? Okay. This was my early days in Love and Faith Christian Fellowship over in Beachmont. He made heaven, He made earth by His great power and stretched out His arm. Clyde, you always say His arm's not short. And there is nothing too hard for Him. Yeah. Nothing. No thing is too hard for the Lord. So, yes. Are you telling me to close? I'm kidding. I need to close.
All the way down here, God was giving me the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Do we know that? Thou art the potter, I'm the clay.
Yeah.
Mold me and make me after your will.
That's a good song.
I'm waiting, yielded and still. Then it says, hold on my being, absolute sway.
Yeah. Yes, single-eyed.
Living in me.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Okay, this is the last thing I'll say here, maybe. Okay, we are quickened to spiritual understanding and fully realize the true character of God and our own nature as the image or idea of God. He had to have an idea. We were with him from whatever. But he had to have, so we were there. He didn't have an idea of us. We were there. There is no beginning in eternity. There is no end in eternity. So we were there. But he had to make the decision to put us here, right? Okay, we were an idea first in his mind I think I'll do this. And don't ask me why he did it, because I'm still seeking that out. Because I wonder sometimes, but I know his plans are perfect, his ways are perfect, his thoughts are perfect, everything's perfect with him. I think even Clyde prayed that our thoughts will be his thoughts. Yeah, they will, definitely will. Our thoughts and our ways are going to be one with God, and they're becoming one with God as we speak. Okay, so as an idea or image of God, we will begin to live as Jesus lived in order that we may bring forth the likeness, to perceive the true character of God and his attributes, and then to grasp our relationship to him is to realize that his attributes are our attributes. His power is our power. His character is our character. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. We're not limited, folks. Don't put limitations on yourself, because we're not limited. It's all exceedingly abundantly. I mean, geez, don't put limitations. Okay, praise the Lord. Can you read that then?
I can share part of it.
Okay. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. It just came to me while we were... Yeah, don't worry about it.
I can tell you part of it anyway. It says, come up here a few more times.
I know, I've been difficult because people are talking and you're not getting it on the CD. I apologize for that.
What I can remember of it right now is, and maybe it'll come to me as I'm quoting it, it's come away, my love, into an intimate place where I'll show you the depths of my amazing grace. As you're wrapped in my enfolding love, and that's about all I can really remember. But that's what he really wants to do. He wants us to wrap us in this enfolding love.
Yes.
I believe it goes the assurance and confidence that we can only know from above. As you sit with me in that heavenly place, you'll learn the depths of my amazing grace, and that's about all I can remember right offhand. But sometimes I have them with me, and sometimes I can remember them, sometimes I can't. Is really dealing with me. Okay. You know, that was an excellent word what Rich shared about even with Cain and Abel, you know. And this thing is not about our works. It's about us moving and flowing with him. That's all that really matters. You know, we make it a lot more complicated, and religion makes it very complicated because it's always putting a bunch of do's and don'ts on you. And I like what he said. He said a lot of real good things today. And you know, Abel, Cain slew Abel. And, you know, the flesh will always try to slay the spirit, or the soul man. It'll always try to do that. But the neat thing about it is that, you know, Jesus paid the price, and we've been redeemed by that precious blood of the Lamb. And, you know, this thing is finished. All we have to do is just walk with him on a daily basis. It's real simple, like he was saying. It's not complicated. So if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. But I think it was a very good word. I appreciate it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, to just bless your people as they go forth from here today. And Father, help us all to realize that you paid the price. You were the ultimate sacrifice. You were the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And you know, a lot of what religion is telling people out there, it's putting them in a place of condemnation and a place of guilt. And Father, there is no guilt because you set them free. And you know, you came to set the captives free, and you've set us free. And we just need to start believing what your word declares about us, And we give you all praise and glory, and I just ask you to bless your people as they go forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.